Hi, everybody. This is Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And, of course, in the studio with me, Kevin O'Donohue of the Positive Mind Center here on West 57th Street. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Ben. Good to be here today.
And today, another great guest to introduce you to. Now, everyone's heard of IQ, which is an often controversial intelligence measurement tool, and we generally tend to talk about EQ here on The Positive Mind. We like to talk about emotional intelligence and how people deal with various emotional, social situations. And today we have an even different concept. Well, let's call it for now BQ, your body quotient. Our guest today is Joe Cardillo, who's been studying body intelligence. And he's been associated, a research psychologist, spent 35 years associated with the State University of New York. He also worked with Michael Strahan on his most recent book, Wake Up Happy. Our guest today is Joseph Cardillo, the author of Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. And we're going to discuss a little bit about what he means by that. But Joe, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you. So you mentioned to me earlier that you do look at the body as somewhat related to a satellite or an antenna. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. When I define body intelligence, I look at it as really a two-part definition. And the first part has to do with the body itself. And that comes from the idea that we have a physical body, we live in a physical world for a reason. And the body is an intelligent instrument, able to draw energy from everything around it, including from within itself. I used to refer to it with a metaphor by saying the body is a fantastic antenna drawing this energy. I was talking to Bernie Siegel not so long ago, and he said, Joe, you know, you should use the metaphor of a satellite dish. And so I like that idea because it goes way out there. And so now, you know, you can think of it as the body as a satellite dish drawing all this energy from everything around it, including from within itself. And then there's a second part of the definition of body intelligence, and that's BQ. And I think of BQ as our awareness of the body's capability to do this, and also our awareness of the various sources of energy around us that the body can draw from.
What are the benefits of awareness? What are the benefits of body quotient or body intelligence?
Everything. That's a great question. Because when things are going great, who cares about the benefits? You know, we're doing great. You know, we don't need any more, at least we think.
I wonder if you pay more attention to your body intelligence when you're in your 50s and 60s. You know, when you're 25, do you have to pay so much attention to your body's intelligence?
Probably.
But as you get older, I mean, there are things that step in the way that says, uh-oh, I have to pay attention to this. My body's like a glass of water, and it's going down, down, down.
Absolutely. I mean, things start to happen. Yeah. So, I mean, when things are great, we're not really paying attention. We're just kind of loving it, you know. And then, our body is going to draw energy from everything around it and itself and as people from each other, whether we want it to or not, it's going to do that. And so the benefit of becoming aware is that we can start to regulate it. And when I say regulate it, that actually is a core principle of body intelligence, is the ability to regulate.
I get it, because just as much as you can pick up energy from your environment, you talk in one part of the book, you talk about the attraction of alert people. It's sort of almost contagious. When you're around somebody who has a lot of energy, mm-hmm. your energy goes up. But similarly, if you're around negative thinking or negative people, I mean, if the body intelligence is an energy system, it can also be drained.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we know, we know intrinsically, we know what people we need to be around. Often we know, I need to be around this person when I feel like this. I need to be around that person when I feel like that.
Right. And so when you're young, you don't necessarily even take notice of this. Almost like you can digest food at a fast rate. You can digest your environment at a fast rate.
True, but I got to say, I've tried to bring up my kids. I, I try to bring up my kids with some kind of sense of self-regulation of energies. It's not easy, but you know that you can get them to understand the concept.
And so, are they sitting at the dinner table doing a little mini meditation, or?
I think they're listening to us right now.
Well, that's great. That's impressive for a young person. Yeah. But I mean, I think as I read your book, I was like, wow, what if I had these tools when I was younger?
Yeah.
You know, because I think you're basically saying, whether mentally or physically, we are an energy system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it occurred to me as I was reading it that we get caught up in these phantom debates in our mind that really drain us. Mm-hmm. If we start living from the point of effective energy, how can I optimize my energy level and take out and take away the things that aren't, you know, improving my my energy level, I can live a much, much happier life.
Absolutely.
And so if I had learned this stuff at a young age, which we'll talk about, the mindfulness part, I really like that part about being out in nature and just sort of letting your body be a channel for nature to go through you, mm-hmm. to get the energy from this. But I guess my point was that there are so many things that can drain our energy. To learn this at a young age is really, really valuable.
Yeah, and that's one, you know, this idea of energy being consumed or draining from us, which is natural. You know, you wake up in the morning, you hope that you feel a good sense of energy pretty soon, and then it starts to wane, just like day and night, just like the cycles in nature. But, you know, being able to plug the things that drain us in that process, I mean, that are draining us, you know, when we want to have higher energy and these things are draining us, being able to plug those drains will make you feel like you have more energy immediately.
So what would be an example of one of those drains, so to speak, that you're talking about?
Well, I give you a lot of examples. I mean, a simple thing like, you know, when we really start paying, a first step in body intelligence is to pay attention to the things throughout the day, from when you wake up. You could just start with waking up. When you wake up, and some of the things that invigorate us and some of the things that are not invigorating.
Like television in the morning.
Like television.
I mean, the first thing I used to do was turn on, you know, a certain channel every mm-hmm. day. And I realized, you know, this doesn't really help me with my mood.
Exactly.
Similarly with some radio programming. And I've since put on QXR, you know, I've since put on like classical music to start my day.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm finding that I'm less reactive.
Well, and then, you know, I've gotten a lot of input from different people, and some of the people I like input from are students who have told me, the father of one student told me, his daughter would listen to, you know, metal music in the morning when she had tests.
He couldn't imagine,
like, why are you doing that? How can you do that? And then she'd come home and show him the A that she got on the exam, and that music energized her. Interestingly to me is when she used that music to assist her, say, in a speech class,
right.
It didn't work. So it energized her for this particular event and not another one. So it's not necessarily interchangeable. So, for example, you know, if there's a child who's studying, even a young child who's studying, and they have the television on, and the parent says, well, you know, why do you have that television on? You're studying. I mean, the child could feasibly say, well, because it motivates me. It gives me the energy to keep going. And that could be true.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. Our guest today, Dr. Joe Cardillo. He's the author of Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. Joe, I know that you advocate a variety of tools and exercises and disciplines in this book to allow people to feel more energized and more comfortable within their body. I also know that you are an avid martial artist. And I'm wondering, is it a crucial first step to be in physical fitness, be in good shape physically to be able to tap into that body intelligence?
No.
All right.
No. No, it's not. And it's just like martial arts. I mean, so many of the people, you know, who come and you probably your listeners are saying, that was me, you know. So many listeners and so many people in general will know that when you start any kind of program, martial arts, anything, jogging, anything athletic, you think that you're out of it. Some people are right in shape and they're great from the beginning, but they get in better shape. But with martial arts, it's amazing. We used to film people. We used to literally film people on their first couple of days in martial arts, and then a year later, show them how they're moving around, show them how their energy is built up, show them their strength, show them how their fear has really dwindled, you know. And then 2 years later, and then you look at those things like 10 years later, and it's amazing.
But to clarify, you don't think that it's necessarily a requirement for someone to get in physical shape to be able to understand this body intelligence?
No, it'll put you in physical shape, because what'll happen is you'll you know, I hate to use the word, but I'm gonna, you'll become addicted to feeling good.
Uh-huh.
And you'll want more of that kind of energy. And really, that's one of the great things about body intelligence, and one of the reasons that it straightens out compulsions that are negative is because it puts you in a frame of mind to chase compulsions that aren't negative.
So our question out there for people today, and we'll take callers later in the show, is where are you at with your body intelligence? How are you aware of your energy drains and your energy gains? What do you do to have an energy gain? So you mentioned music is one thing. And it's amazing to me. I mean, these kids nowadays, they can study with three things going on at once, and they work. It works for them. You know, watching television might be the right stimulant for a certain child in preparation for a test. Listen to heavy metal? I don't get that, but, you know, to each their own. What else can people do proactively? Let's say you're sluggish in the middle of the day. What can somebody do?
See, there's a couple of things that you can do, and in the book I address this, because sometimes I think that knowing why things work helps. It's not absolutely necessary, but it helps, and if nothing else, it's fun to know why things work, and so when we're trying to say come up with energy that'll lift us up. One of the reasons that it works is because it's either changing the electrical activity in our body, or it's changing our blood chemistry. Some things like music and other items can change both your electrochemical activity, and that's what's actually stimulating you. So with music, it's great, because we already have that sort of natural sense that this song here will stimulate me.
Right. And I know color. I mean, I imagine reading your book, carrying around a fan deck of color as a way to stimulate, because I know that I have an immediate reaction to color.
Oh, absolutely.
And that there are certain colors like red that, you know, can really stimulate and sometimes even just energize anger. And if you need anger for a particular thing, maybe looking at the color red will electrochemically alter your consciousness. Is that true?
Yeah, you can set it up. You can set it up as a prompt. So, for example, let's go back to an athletic event. If you really need that kind of positive aggression,
right,
or you need the kind of positive aggression that a parent might need to get the job done in the morning before they leave the home, you
right.
know, or anything else, if you need that really kind of powerful, aggressive energy for a task, you can prompt yourself with a color. You
right.
can prompt yourself with a word. Mm. You can prompt yourself with music. And there's, you know, hundreds of other things that I discuss in the
book. I think there's a science of the therapy office, you know, the right color to use. For me, blue just does not work. I mean, blue is a calming, soothing color, but not in a therapy office. Our colors here are a light peach here at the Positive Mind Center. And everybody to a person comes in and talks about how the color affects their mood, affects them. It makes them breathe a sigh of relief when they come here. Do you know this science of color? There's a book called The Pink Effect that they have started to paint jail cells the color pink.
That's great.
And that it has reduced aggression and fighting in prison, in the prison. It's a known fact that the use of the color pink can reduce violent tendencies.
Yeah.
And so you're saying, how can you, a regular person who's not in jail, figuratively or literally, you know, use a color to energize yourself?
Well, you can use the color itself, but one of the things that I, another hallmark of body intelligence is the more different parts of the brain that we use, the more you can ramp up the particular energy that you like. So, like, let's say that you're listening to music, and the music is an upbeat song. We'll start with that, and I know that later we might get more specific. Let's say you're listening to an upbeat song. Now, if we use if we use a visual of a particular color,
like red.
Now we're using the visual center of our brain, and so now you're kind of like doubling up on the effect. You can make it last longer. You will recall it quicker, and you can even ramp up the effect itself. So you're getting more of the effect, and it's lasting longer.
It's like the rock and roll concert effect. You know, I guess about 20 years ago, they started introducing videos into rock concerts, and it, you know, enhances the experience of the music. So all
the light shows,
right? You know,
Yeah, absolutely.
The midnight light show at the Museum of Natural History
is still going on.
You know, just by itself, the music itself is a fine stimulant, but it just, you know, and it made me think when I was reading your book that the next step is going to be scent. They're going to start sprinkling scent throughout the audience of a concert. An outdoor concert.
Well, sometimes you pick it up with a pyrotechnics and things like that too. You pick up that.
Yeah. And Mother Nature also
and,
is out
there. Yeah. And the more parts of the brain, I mean, just as a general rule, the more parts of the brain that we use, the more we can ramp up the effect. So here's a little trick people can try. If you take one of your favorite songs, it stimulates you maybe when you're working out or for something else, maybe when you're doing homework or you're preparing for a PowerPoint at work.
Yeah.
Take that song that you know really stimulates you, listen to it calmly, and then close your eyes and just imagine the color red while you're listening to it. And then as you're imagining the color red, which triggers the visual center of your brain, what I'd like you to do is to just take a deep breath and literally breathe that vision right in. Breathe the vision in, and that will give you more stimulation. If you're jogging and you do this, and you tie a story to it, a narrative, now you're using the language center of your brain. So if you tie a story to it, just make up a story or think of a good, positive memory that gave you high energy. And then you're thinking of that memory, you're listening to the music, and then you take that deep red breath and breathe that all through you. It's going to stimulate you even more.
You know, I know that even swimming now, you know, they have headphones in swimming, and I swim quite a lot, and I had all these 70s tunes downloaded into my little little chip in my ear for swimming, and I, you know, I had a Bob Dylan thing, like 10, and I realized this is not helping me get through, you know, my swimming activity. I need Rocky, you know, the theme from Rocky to get me really amped up and motivated and my energy level up. So, you know, the power of music to, I mean, you don't need a lot of science about that. The power of music to energize your body and your mind is so convincing and so believable. I'm surprised more people don't use it.
Oh, I know. And it's fun because you can go to almost any discipline and find uses. You know, years ago, they used to do research on music in the office.
And,
you know, one of the things that people discovered
was... So classical doesn't work anymore.
Well, there were certain music forms that really weren't very good for typing, like real tight rhythms.
Oh, okay.
And so on.
Yeah,
it didn't
sure.
really work with typing because you got your own rhythm, and so you don't want to confound it with something else.
I see.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Joseph Cardillo. He's the author of Body Intelligence, harness your body's energies for your best life. One of the reasons I was most excited to speak with you, Joe, is the fact that you are discussing this connection that's sort of been a theme that we've been exploring here these last few months on the inexorable link between our mental, physical, and emotional health. And you are really stressing a lot of that, the physical side of it. We just heard you discuss how visualization techniques whether it's a color or in the book you talk about looking at a photo. These can actually change our brain waves.
Absolutely.
And you also talk about the link with music to that. And I guess where I'm really curious is on a physical level, right, beyond the mental and beyond the emotional, since we are talking about body intelligence, what are some areas that you've used these techniques to see differences physically? And what differences have you experienced, physiologically speaking?
You mean, in terms of athletics? Or
just your actual body, right? Well, not including anything mental or emotional.
Well, some of the immediate effects are that, and I'm not sure that this is answering your questions, but some of the immediate effects would be that you can use, you don't want to, my theory here is that you don't want to, you know, mind-body works is a two-way street.
Absolutely.
So the mind can affect the body, and the body can affect the mind. And I spent probably the majority of at least five, maybe five and a half books that I wrote that were really completely mind over body, just about completely mind over body. And then I said, you know, but the whole time that I talked about it, I always reminded everybody, this is a two-way street. And at some point I said, you know, I'm not giving enough attention to what we can do with the body to affect the mind. And really, we want to affect the whole thing because it's who we are. It's our whole living being. So to get back to the question, when our mind is, say, depressed or fatigued,
it's going to manifest
angered,
physiologically.
It's going to manifest physiologically. And so you can use the body then to balance that mind. You don't want that mind imposing its influence on an otherwise perfectly happy and healthy body, but it will. Mm-hmm. And so what I want is I want the individual who's feeling that way to then say, look, my mind right now is imbalanced. As all of ours are throughout the day, nobody's
sure.
balanced all day long,
right.
And so I'm going to use my body to balance my mind.
I wonder which is more powerful. What I mean by that is, I wonder, will a healthy body transcend the troubled mind, or will the healthy mind overpower the body that's in pain? You see what I mean?
Well, there's a lot of science that the mind can regulate the body and can reduce pain. You talk in the book about visualization, which we'll talk about, like paralyzed people and how they use visualization to exercise otherwise inactive muscle groups.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of science about the influence of the mind on the body. Obviously, the body influencing the mind. If you need caffeine to get up in the morning, I mean, the body is influencing the mind all the time. And I think, to your point, that when the mind is not working effectively, efficiently, as you need it to, that's the time to tune into your body and sort of amp it up. When you talk about the restorative loop in the book, and regulatory breathing. So, Ben, I think one way to get your mind at least neutralized or balanced when it's not functioning well is to use your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the breathing and how this can be one tool to get them back together again?
Yeah, because in it's no wonder that all of every discipline of mind-body health uses breath. And
yeah.
It's because it's here you've got this physical act that brings the mind and the body together in a moment of presence.
Yeah.
And so I know we were talking earlier about this idea that truth comes in between breaths, which
yes.
is a quote that
yeah.
I use in
right.
the book a lot. And truth does come between breaths. When you breathe and you shut out your thinking.
Yeah.
That's when that moment of truth can come, and you can make that transition that we're looking, or that transformation that we're
looking
for. And
I can't tell people enough out there how important just practicing your breath the rhythmic feel of your breath, because it's also musical.
Well, it's like an internal massage.
It's like an internal massage. So if the brain and the body and the mind, the mind is not functioning well, hey, you have a breath inside your body. Just start paying attention to that, just to feel yourself grounded. And then you'll know, oh, let me turn on a piece of music. Let me do an exercise. Let me meditate. Let me visualize. Let me smell something.
And
let me cook.
And breath is like music. It's rhythmic.
Yeah.
It's rhythmic. And if we think about it, you know, all these rhythms, including breath, and I love the idea of the breath sound, the sound of our breath, takes us right back to when we were being formed in our mothers. You know, the sound of the sound of the umbilical cord, the sound of the placenta, the heartbeat. All of those rhythms in our body, and it's in every cell of our body, and so you really can control a lot with those rhythms of breathing.
You know, Armand did a show, and he said, you know, the reason people go to the beach, why do people go to the beach? You think you're going for the salt air, the sunlight, the smell. You know,
the waves.
No, you're going for the sound.
Yeah, the waves.
And it brings you back to inside the womb.
Absolutely.
And it's so calming, and you don't even know it. I mean, you're unconscious of it, but it is regulating you. And so, you know, in addition to just getting outdoors, which is great for your melatonin and your eyes and your mood in general, going to the beach, listening to the rhythm of the ocean can really, people are trying to get back to the womb.
Well, you know, it calms us right down.
It's simple. You know, I recently just started listening to waves to go to sleep at night. Like, can you talk a little bit about the importance of sleep and preparation for sleep?
Yeah, and I highly recommend listening to waves. I mean, unless you have an aversion to them, I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you know, you can go, you can find all kinds of recordings. Some of them are 8, 9, 10, 11 hours long.
Cover you through the whole night.
Cover you through the whole night. So even if you wake up, you'll go right back to sleep. I trained I called it a gift of energy. I trained my youngest daughter to meditate along the Green River in Massachusetts. And it's not far from where we live, not far at all. And we go there, and I taught her to meditate there, and we started to listen to the water sounds, and then we started to look at the greenery. So she's doing her visualizations, and she's getting color and so on.
Right.
And then we recorded it. And then she's got it on her on several of her devices.
Oh, wow. Terrific.
And so from when she was a little tiny girl of not even 3 years old, she was doing this. And now she can get herself to sleep in the most relaxed way in less than a minute.
Fantastic.
And I love telling that story because everybody can gift other people the gift of energy, and we can do this ourselves too.
Isn't that the best gift of all? I mean, you know, we give each other material things, but I mean, the gift of, you know, your energy and the way you greet me,
absolutely,
the way you treat me, the way we interact, you know, is the best gift, I would think.
Well, yeah, and I've been thinking...
If you're giving me more energy, I mean, if there's anything I want more of, it's energy.
And I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and I think that's really, I mean, if I want to stay physiological... And not get philosophical for a minute.
Yeah,
I kind of think that I could define love that way.
Yes, as somebody who gives me energy.
And the energy that I need to pay close enough attention to what you need.
Oh, I love it. I think you're right.
You know,
I
what
absolutely
I mean?
Agree with you.
So just
100%.
Looking at it physiologically for a moment.
Yeah. Which is why so many teenagers think they're in love. You know, that, oh, I'm, you know, feeling all sorts of things, and then it goes away because the person is giving me energy not in the right way.
Right.
But as we mature and grow, I mean, this is one of the payoffs of getting older, is we can really appreciate another person's energy.
We're gonna go ahead and right up against the break here. So we're gonna take a short musical break.
Just when
break.
It was getting juicy.
We'd love to hear from our listeners on this topic. The number to call is 212-757-5555. Give us a call. We're talking about body intelligence. Where are you at with your body intelligence, Kevin? You mentioned that. Great question.
Yeah, and I'm constantly, you know, like I say, I'm in my 50s. 10 years ago, I was not doing this, but I do an energy check every other hour. I mean, I say I need to be somewhere. I'll be here till 10 tonight. How do I Reg, keep my energy in check now that I don't expend it all, which I didn't have to do 10 years ago. So I think this concept of body intelligence, body energy, being aware of where your energy is going, how you can maximize your energy, is really critical.
So we're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back after this with your calls. Give us a ring, 212-757-5555.
Talking ain't saying a word. Preaching ain't getting the hurt. Body language. Talk to just when you find you're listening here. You find it took your eyes to make it clear what it is a mouth was trying to say. Oh, with the words got in the way. Talk to me. Just rub it. Now picture this. Talk to me. Just rub it.
Talking and saying.
Body language, Parliament Funkadelic here on 99.5 FM WBAI. You're listening to The Positive Mind. And remember, you can always help us eliminate future fund drives by becoming a BAI buddy at WBAI.org. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue and our guest today, Dr. Joseph Cardillo, author of Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. And Dr. Cardillo has spent 35 years as a research psychologist, previously affiliated with the State University of New York. He also worked with Michael Strahan on his most recent book, Wake Up Happy. And there are a lot of fantastic concepts in this book, Dr. Cardillo. And I want to thank you again for joining us. You talk about psychological currency. Could you just define that for us really quickly?
Yeah, psychological currency is what is the energy reserves that we have that we're able to draw on for the things that we need to do.
And there are things you can do to build it.
Absolutely. That's the idea, is to not let that energy get below a certain level where you really, you know, start to feel fatigue.
Okay. And you also talked about, well, going to go into these because probably listeners have an idea. How do you recharge your psychological currency, your body's bank account? How do you do it? So everybody has an idea, and we'll go into specifics about it. But you were talking about that moment just before fatigue or just before anger. Do you remember talking about that?
Yeah, there's a phase in our cycles. I mean, once we get to know our own cycles.
Yeah.
So let's say I fatigue. Let's say that's the cycle. Or I anger, or I get bummed out
right.
or something. Or whatever. There's a cycle to this. And again, that's because our bodies are energetic units. And they go through cycles
sure.
like everything else in nature.
Right.
And so you're able to, as part of that cycle, isolate that phase when it's almost going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's called 2:30 in the afternoon.
It could be. It could be.
And, for me, and, it is anyway.
And well, that is for almost everybody.
That's why that
depends what shift you're working.
That's why they had a siesta back when, and still do in certain
absolutely.
Countries. But anyway, go ahead.
Actually, that was great in Greece.
Yeah,
I love
right.
that. Anyway, there's a phase where we're in this almost phase. I'm almost depressed. I'm almost bummed out. I'm almost fatigued, and that's when you can nip it. Right there in that phase, and that's where self-regulation comes in. And so, you know, you can feel, I mean, to be non-academic here for a second, this is where you can feel your body's energy draining just a little more than it should. I want to elaborate on that just a little bit.
Go ahead.
By
yeah.
giving you a definition of balance.
Right.
Because this is a term we toss around a lot, and I tried to create a definition of balance for what I might mean by energy balance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of it this way, if you think of balance as that place in between calmness and alert, both mentally and physically.
Sure.
That space between calmness and alert. And here's how you can identify it in a second. If you were any more mellow, you couldn't perform the job that you're doing, whatever the task is. If you were any more energized, you couldn't perform it very well either because you'd be too jumpy or anxiety would pitch in, or you'd become stressed if you got really anxious.
Right.
So it's that space where you're right at the exact point of energy that you need to accomplish the job, and that's balance. And so this thing with almost is kind of like losing balance. You've
right.
lost balance, and you realize that if you lose it anymore, you're going to be in a chronic situation.
Right.
You're going to do something. You're going to respond harmfully to yourself or others, or at least you're not going to perform at your best.
Yeah, and so anger or road rage could be an example of going over.
That's right.
You're certainly out of balance.
That's
but
right.
But you might have way too much energy to be driving the car effectively.
And that's a great example because road rage is a fantastic example because by the time you've slipped into that road rage, which only takes a millisecond, by the time you slipped into that, you don't even know that you're there. You don't even, somebody could say, oh my God, you're really angry, you're rageful, look at yourself, and you'd say, oh, I am.
Yeah.
Although you wouldn't say it that way.
Yeah.
So, but you don't even know that you're there. So the only thing that you could do is to try to regulate that before you hurt somebody or somebody hurts you. The only thing you could do is to try to identify that moment that's almost there and the details that make up that moment. And at that point, you can regulate it. You can learn to regulate it.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Joseph Cardillo, and he is the author of Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. And you've spent a lifetime, quite frankly, dedicating yourself to better understanding of the fields of holistic psychology, the mind and body connection. And I want to remind our listeners, if you have any questions for Dr. Cardillo, the number to call, 212-757-5555, talking about body intelligence. It's interesting because we often talk about emotional intelligence here on The Positive Mind, as opposed to mental intelligence, which is the more
computer stuff.
Traditional one-dimensional look at intelligence. And we like to open it up to emotional intelligence. And here you are, Dr. Cardillo, telling us about body intelligence, which is fascinating stuff. And I wonder how many people out there would do well to really listen to their body, pay attention to their body, and gain a better understanding and a better awareness around their physical selves.
Absolutely. I think everybody would gain.
Everybody would gain.
We have Lucy on the phone.
Hello, Lucy. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, wow. That was so fast. I've never done this before.
Very good job. So tell us about your BI, your body intelligence, and how you keep yourself awake, alert, and energized.
Well, I have a challenge that I share with thousands, I'm sure, in the world today that I give care right now. I'm in a rite of passage with my mother who has dementia. I'm blessed to be a nurse, and I've been with her for 6 years. And I live at the beck and call of her disease's pattern.
Yeah.
So we don't medicate her, and I am always seeking sleep. So what I hear in the show today are sort of structures for living to keep an energy. So you even know that 2:30 in the afternoon is your slow time. And in my past, I've experienced that. But now it's all camouflaged by an odd kind of sleep deprivation. And what I am curious about is not what I can report, but many of us in the world are called to do this kind of work, you know, and even people who work night shifts.
Sure.
And so when I look for formulas or solutions for energy depletion, it never is able to talk about how we might repair this, even if we're not looking to do it now, but when we leave, when it comes to an end.
Let's hear from Joe.
Because it's all based on going to bed at, you know, at a reasonable hour, shutting down our electronic devices, all those good things. I go for exercise every day outside.
I think you're doing. I think your question here comes at a really important time.
Okay.
And I think that you're right when you say that many, many people can relate to this situation. Many people can relate to this, and we all will relate to this situation eventually. And so, you know, in what you're saying, there's a couple of things I'd like to address. And that is by, you know, when you're dealing with somebody like your mom, right? When you're dealing with somebody who's in a situation like your mom, and I recently myself dealt for an extended period of time with a member of my own family in such a way, I think that the first thing that comes to my mind is I want to gift this individual the best of my energy. Right? And so there's so many times when we're in a situation like this, when we're dragging, we're fatigued, we're pretty emotional over what's going on. We're pretty emotional about how what's going on is affecting us and people around us, our lives, our careers, if we're in a career, our ability to do things and all that. And I think that we got to get ourselves highly energized, strong and solid to go and do our job with this individual. And when we bring the best of our energy to that individual, we're helping them in the best way we can. And there's a lot of ways you can do this. Some of the ways is to, you know, you can still create new memories. You can use your own emotional connection to past memory and new memory. One thing that I did
to energize.
Yeah, one thing that I did personally, uh-huh. and I'd like to share this with you. And I've written about this. I've written about this in several articles. Is, you know, I found a piece of music that I absolutely love, and for me, it was Vivaldi, and it was the Four Seasons, and it was spring. And I love.
I was a dancer. I danced for that. It's beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, so that's a beautiful piece, and for me, that just brought the highest quality energy into my mind and body. And I would listen to that before I went to visit this family member to try to get my energy up there where it belonged. And sometimes I would have to combine it with other things, and we can talk about that. But that's
terrific, yeah. Lucy. What do you think of that phrase, "the gift of your energy"?
Oh, I think it's stunning. It because it works both ways. My mother, I live with her, so I've lived here 6 years under this umbrella, and it's taught me. I call it the lesson I wouldn't have signed up for, but I would never leave it now.
Right.
And so I learned from her body's insistence, her brain's insistence to keep going, the courage of that, despite her inability to do what we all think is so important, you know, communicate with certain words and do all these things that we have been taught.
Well, Lucy, I want to thank you so much for the call and thank
I
you for tuning in today.
Good luck.
It's
Canada,
a great,
thank you for
let's
your
see,
thoughts.
Thank
great
you,
night.
Too. And let's see how many more callers we can get before the top of the hour. The number here is 212-757-5555. We're talking about body intelligence with Dr. Joseph Cardillo. He has spent a career focusing on the link between mind and body, and focusing on holistic psychology. So we're very pleased to have you here today, Dr. Cardillo. And the name of the book, again, is Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energy for Your Best Life. And we have another caller on the line. Tim, thanks for calling in today.
Yeah, guys. I mean, I appreciate this program so much.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for calling.
I need to do this. First, I want to echo Lucy.
Yeah.
I want to echo the previous caller because I also experienced that both parents, that I took care of both parents. I want to say very quickly that randomly I could have sought help, but it would have taken too much financial difficulty from what they were able to, you know, to deal with. But one of the things that I noticed is that I did the same thing. First of all, I weaned them back off medicine.
Okay.
That was a personal decision. I also did my research. I am not a practitioner. Of course, I've worked several clerical jobs within a medical profession, but no, I have no credentials. I want to say that.
But
so,
so let me just interrupt you because, you know, this is a common scenario that people are dealing with, aging parents and the demands at any hour of the day, any minute of the day, that your energy can totally flag and go away, and you need this reboot that Joe was talking about. How do you do it? How did you do
chamber
it?
Chamber music. I'm glad you asked.
Yes, go ahead. Tell us.
Chamber, I could not do it. And Ave Maria, of course.
Chamber music.
And I kind of made my own little scenario up. And also, I had to then take care of myself. Yes, I agree with the gentleman when he said Rocky. All right, Rocky one.
Right.
All right. I had to go out and exercise my body, shoveling snow, digging trenches, weaning and pruning lawn bushes, anything to relax the mind. But sitting down by the water just before sunset. Yeah.
All those things you just mentioned. All those things that you just mentioned not only build up your energy, but they help organize your mind. So when you walk away from those things, you feel energized and you feel organized. And
God bless you.
Yes. In a scenario where you could get disorganized very quickly, you somehow just naturally knew just what to do.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating that how energizing and how focusing manual labor can be. It's a very meditative thing. Yeah. Just to sweep a floor or shovel snow
absolutely
can be a really zen experience where
absolutely
we get to clear out our minds and get in tune with that.
And
body
you
side.
Can do this. You can do the many of these things with the person that you're trying to take care of as well. And many
that's
of that,
what we're talking about. Thank
yes,
you.
And many of these things can be done with people who are particularly older people, but they don't have to be. Who are taking physical therapy, occupational therapy. You know, all these things: visualization, color, sound. All these things help them heal.
Jim, we got to thank.
I don't mean to cut you off, but speaking to them, yeah. Asking them about their past, and massaging them, and doing little things that you think that you would need, massaging their fingers, their toes. You have to get very active, and I thank that previous caller so much because I did it alone.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for doing that for your folks, for your parents.
I loved
it. Thank you for calling us. This is a beautiful call.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to throw in one other thing. Take your mother dancing.
Oh, absolutely. Both of them, not one.
Get them up on their feet and have them, get them up on their feet and have them dancing. So yes. That's the last one. But thank you, Jim. It sounds like you have a lot of energy in spite of your constant being on call. So
I'm immensely blessed because of it.
Thank you. We are all blessed
thank
to
you.
Hear from you. So thanks, and keep calling us. All right? Be well.
You know, it's no surprise that your good energy helped.
Yeah, you know, also when you think about it, since we're talking about older people, they're not touched. You know, when you look at elderly people, I know this is off topic, but when you look at it, they're not touched very often. And so when you dance a dance with them, you're giving them sustained touch from another body.
Physiologically, when we get older, our sense of joy starts to decline a little bit if we don't do something about it, and it's declining in electrochemical ways. I mean, there's hormones that just aren't where we want them to be anymore, and we can give that.
You do mention in the book rhythmic activities. Mm-hmm. It's funny that he mentioned shoveling snow.
Perfect.
I mean, even just the sound of shoveling snow,
perfect.
I get an image of the sound, where I get the sound.
And then if he doubles up with images, put some headphones on, he's
going to
get even more of that going.
Yeah. So there it is, partnering images with sound to totally rejuvenate.
Yeah.
So he sounds like he found intuitively things that you're mentioning in
things
the book.
Things that worked for him, and there's things, you know, for other people, there'll be different things. The book tries to help you find out what things will help you personally.
If you're just joining us, we've been speaking with Dr. Joseph Cardillo. He spent 35 years working with the State University of New York, and he's been so good as to come all the way down here from upstate New York to be with us today. And if you'd like to hear more about body intelligence, you can tune in tomorrow, where we'll be speaking with him again. Let's take one more caller. We have Christine on the line. Christine, really quick, since we are just up against the end of the program, what's going on?
Hello. Are you there?
Yes. How can I deal with being with a person that drains your energy negative?
Okay, we'll take you off the air and we'll give you an answer. Joe, what do you think? Let's say you're married to somebody who's really draining your energy. What do you do?
Well, first thing you need to do is build your own energy. And then by leading through example is one way that you can try to recharge the other person or rebalance the other person. But there's a lot of tricks in my book. There's things that you can do. My daughter said to me once when she was very, very young, she said, "You are like a remote control on my behavior." She said, "Can't you get another job?" Yeah. But there's a lot of things I talk about in the book that you can use to spark the other person's energy and to try to regulate that. The more willing they are, the better it works, of course.
And reactivity is just never works anyway. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if your partner is sparking something in you, just regulate yourself mm-hmm. to a calm place, and they'll have nothing to bump up against.
That's right.
You know, so I think this is probably another topic of, you know, another example of a huge drain that can happen at any time of the day, and we don't know what. And it all gets back to you. It mm-hmm. all gets back to what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Joe, we got to thank you for being here. I know you're going to be here tomorrow also.
Yes, thank you.
So we wish we could take more calls, but thank you, Lucy and Jim and Christine, for those calls. And we'll be back tomorrow. Ben, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Remember, you can send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. Give us a call here at the Positive Mind Center, 212-757-4488, anytime with any questions. And thank you again. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Take care.